From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, August 4th, 2017. This program is produced by the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and features news highlights compiled from the ARRL letter, found on the web at arrl.org. I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X.
And I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX.
In this week's report, the ARRL board explores entry-level license options and ways to face future challenges.
Amateur radio participation is key to a university solar eclipse experiment.
And thousands of hams are getting on the air with the new FT8 digital mode.
Those stories and others, plus Bruce Page, KK5DO, with this week's satellite update, all coming up now.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Don Minkoff, NK6A of Mar Vista, California, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
Meeting July 21st and 22nd in Farmington, Connecticut, the ARRL Board of Directors took steps to chart a firmer future for amateur radio by enhancing the value of the entry-level license and by providing ongoing support for new licensees. ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR, chaired the second regular meeting of 2017. ARRL New England Division Director Tom Frenay, K1KI, presented the report of the Ad Hoc Entry-Level License Committee. A clear majority favored a revision to the technician rather than a new entry-level license, the committee's report said, noting that this would require no change to the technician examination, which already covers more material than necessary for an entry-level examination. This choice requires the simplest revision to FCC rules, the committee report said. The committee suggested expanded digital access on 80, 40, and 15 meters, where technicians already have CW access, as well as the addition of technician phone privileges on those bands. Later in the meeting, the board charged the ARRL Executive Committee with developing a plan to implement the Ad Hoc Committee's recommendation to make the current technician class license more attractive and useful by expanding its operating privileges on HF to include phone and digital modes. ARRL Chief Executive Officer Tom Gallagher, NY2RF, presented the report of six headquarters staffers who had been tasked with identifying the challenges facing ARRL and devising feasible solutions. Specifically, the committee addressed market research findings that have continued to reveal that only a small percentage of new hams join the league, and only about one half of new hams actually get on the air. The committee began with the premise that ARRL must act in order to remain relevant going forward. It proposed instituting a lifelong learning program to focus on developing a clear developmental path for all radio amateurs. The committee recommended the creation of new programs and services to increase the knowledge base of newcomers in order to get them active, as well as programs to keep experienced amateurs up to date with changing technology and practice.
Also at their July 2017 meeting, the ARRL Board of Directors announced the winners of the 2017 Hiram Percy Maxim Award and recognized two clubs for their exemplary service. The board designated 19-year-old Skylar Fennell, KD0WHB of Denver, Colorado, to receive the 2017 Hiram Percy Maxim Memorial Award, the league's top honor for a young radio amateur. Fennell has been actively involved in a wide range of amateur radio activities and community service, establishing two clubs, mentoring other students, and using amateur radio to aid the community. He also built his own APRS transceiver to track public service event support vehicles, plus a 900 megahertz crossband link to stay in touch even when the operator is outside the vehicle. The Maxim Award is presented to an ARRL member under age 21 whose accomplishments and contributions to the amateur radio and local communities are of the most exemplary nature. It carries a $1,500 stipend and an engraved plaque. The board recognized and congratulated the Denver Radio Club for its exemplary service and dedication to the amateur radio community and the general public. The club celebrates its centennial this year. The board also recognized the Clark County Amateur Radio Club for its exemplary service and dedication. The club operates 8 repeaters in Southwest Washington that directly support public service activities, and it created the IWARN program to provide visual situational reports with ground truth observations to emergency managers. The club was chosen the 2017 Hamvention Club of the Year. It is celebrating its 87th year.
Virginia Tech Electrical Engineering Professor Greg Earle, W4GDE, is heading up a National Science Foundation-funded solar eclipse experiment dubbed CEDAR, Coupling, Energetics, and Dynamics of Atmospheric Regions. The experiment proposes to study the effects on the ionosphere of the August 21st total eclipse of the sun using a combination of GPS receivers, the university's super-dual auroral radar network, HF amateur radio, and plasma modeling. Several graduate students and researchers, as well as the Virginia Tech Amateur Radio Association, K4KDJ, and the amateur radio community at large, have been recruited to help. We want to understand how the ionosphere is affected by blockage of sunlight over a relatively short interval, around 2 hours, understand how man-made systems are affected by the changes in the ionosphere, and use the data to improve our numerical models, Earle told ARRL, noting that the plan has morphed a bit since the initial proposal of more than a year ago, although the idea is still the same.
Online, via podcast, and on repeaters around the world, you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
Now, with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
If you're looking for information about how to operate the Fox 1 satellites, AMSAT has the answer. Visit amsat.org/station-and-operating-hints. There you can find all the tips and tricks to assist you in making your contact on the satellite. It is not difficult when you know how to do it. AMSAT Field Day results are complete and will be coming out in the next issue of the AMSAT Journal in several weeks. You can take a sneak peek at AMSAT.org and click on Events and then Field Day for the 2017 results. August 19th through 20th, Clayton W5PFG will be active from FN 53 through 57 and FN 64 through 67. Check his Twitter for updates. It's at W5PFG. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
According to Scientific American, six tiny Sprite satellites, each consisting of a 4-gram circuit board packed with electronics, were deployed in late June. The Sprites are the brainchild of Zach Manchester, KD2BHC, whom Scientific American interviewed for their article. The Sprites went into low Earth orbit as secondary payloads on Latvian and Italian satellites launched from India. Signals on 437.325 MHz from at least one of the exterior-mounted Sprites have been received in California and New York. Manchester launched 104 Sprites into orbit in 2014 aboard KickSat-1, but they failed to deploy.
Keys and Keyers is the topic of the latest episode of the ARRL The Doctor Is In podcast. Sponsored by DX Engineering, ARRL The Doctor Is In is an informative discussion of all things technical. Listen on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, wherever and whenever you like. Every 2 weeks, your host, QST Editor-in-Chief Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and the doctor himself, Joel Hallis, W1ZR, will discuss a broad range of technical topics. You can also email your questions to doctor@arrl.org, and the doctor may answer them in a future podcast. Enjoy ARRL The Doctor Is In on Apple iTunes or by using your iPhone or iPad podcast app. You can also listen online at Blueberry or at Stitcher and through the free Stitcher app for iOS, Kindle, or Android devices.
It's still in beta testing, but FT8, the latest digital mode to capture the imagination of the amateur radio community, has been luring away many of those using the already popular JT65 weak signal mode. FT8 is included in a beta release of WSJTX. One of its biggest advantages is a shorter transmit-receive cycle, meaning quicker contacts. The notes for the candidate release say that FT8 offers sensitivity down to minus 20 dB on the AWGN channel. Contacts are 4 times faster than with JT65 or JT9, and an entire FT8 contact can take place in about 1 minute. The new mode is named after its developers, Stephen Frank, K9AN, and Joe Taylor, K1JT. Tones are spaced at 6.25 Hz, and an FT8 signal occupies just 50 Hz of bandwidth. Unlike JT65 or JT9, transmit and receive cycles in FT8 each last about 15 seconds. Like JT65, FT8 requires accurate time synchronization. An auto-sequencing feature offers the option to respond automatically to the first decoded reply to your CQ. FT8 is an excellent mode for HFDXing and for situations like multi-hop e-skip on 6 meters, where deep QSB may make fast and reliable completion of QSOs desirable, Taylor's release notes assert. The beta release came out just days before the July CQVHF contest and proved to be a boon to many operators who took advantage of FT8 on 6 meters. We know that the advent of new mode FT8 means that new material is needed for the user guide, Taylor told the Yahoo Meteor Scatter and Weak Signal group this week. We will be working on that in the near future. A new Facebook group has been established for FT8 experimenters.
Hi! I'm ARRL member Joe Walsh, WB6ACU of Studio City, California. You're listening to ARRL Audio News.
With the July 25th ARRL Field Day submission deadline behind us, the ARRL Contest branch has completed a first pass of the 2017 Field Day submissions. Scroll down to Field Day Submissions, where there is a link to the list and additional information. Several lines in the summary's receive list are highlighted in yellow with the statement, "Data incomplete, contact ARRL Contest branch, email contests@arrl.org. If your listing has this statement, the contest branch will have emailed you a request for missing documents. Typically, the missing document is the 2-page summary sheet. Be sure to follow up with the contest branch if your listing is so noted.
And finally, on a personal note, this marks my last edition of ARRL Audio News and my time at ARRL headquarters. It has been a pleasure bringing you the latest in ARRL news for the past 3 years on this podcast. My co-host Carla Pereira will remain at the ARRL Audio News desk. ARRL Steve Ford, WB8IMY, will take over my part of audio news beginning next week.
That concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about audio news, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright 2017 ARRL, all rights reserved. I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX.
And I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X. 73, and thanks for listening.